Chuck, in the Fandemonium bracket, you are a number one seed. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But if you win your matchup, which I believe you will, you could take on Adam McKelvey, who is a number eight seed. He's taking on Danny Bush, a nine seed. Adam McKelvey at an eight seed. I've got a lot of problems with this bracket. Rami's a three. That's too low for him. Brendan Schultz, our old producer, is not on here. Ben Wergel got left off. Adam at an eight seed is embarrassingly low. Adam, good morning. If you want to vent about your seeding, please, now is the time to do so.
The most ridiculous thing in the world. I see Josh Vernier a lot, you know, around playoff games and when we're in Kansas City. Josh Vernier's got a nice fat seed there. How many? He's been gone for quite a bit, boys. You know.
A four seed is Vernier in your bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. But if you win now, you've got this impossible first round matchup, second round matchup against Chuck Freeman.
I don't like
what
that matchup for me.
Like impossibly easy to move on, or what do you mean?
No, I don't like.
Oh,
I don't like my draw.
Because
who are the other potential eighth seeds out there that? I mean, that guy could have faced. I don't want to face
Tom Kesenick. You would destroy him.
Okay.
Steve Zocchi, you would beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood might be tough, but you'd beat him.
Oh, I got Wood, please.
Because if I win, I have to play one of our basketball insiders, either Name or Velasquez. And if you win, you've got to play our baseball insider, McKelvey. I think we got set up here, Chuck, in this bracket, to be honest.
I think you're right. I mean, they gave me a number one seed. But, I mean, they gave me a tough out with Adam in round two if I get by round one. Can't overlook the round one, though.
Well, aren't the Badgers feel like they're often an eight seed, or maybe they just were 1 year and I always think of them as an eight seed. So I like the eight seed. I know it's one that can get knocked off. I mean, hey, I could be a first-round loser. Doesn't the eight seed sometimes lose? Aren't they like the second most often bounced after the 5-12 or something?
Yeah, the 8-9 seed, because it's the two evenly matched teams. Yeah.
So if we do move on, I mean, do we have to do like pregame media or anything if we're facing each other in the second round? I know the media isn't as intense in round two as it is once you get to like, you know, the Final Four and obviously the national championship. But, you know, I still think we'd probably have some media obligations before round two.
Yeah, we never do discuss that, Bart. Is there going to be media involved in this?
I don't know what's going on. I just hope I win. I don't care about what I have to do. I need the respect and adulation that I constantly crave for every time I crack a microphone.
All right, let's get to baseball here. Adam, no opening day. There's been a bunch of theories on how or when this thing is going to start. And it sounds like baseball is maybe kind of targeting a certain date out there, aren't they?
I don't know that I would say that. I would say that baseball just naturally has to make a thousand different contingency plans because, you know, everyone hopes we get to a point as a country where we return to some normalcy and baseball games are going to be part of that. And you have to be prepared for that. You can't be just sitting there waiting for that day, and then it comes and you go, okay, what are we going to do here? So I think that's more what they're doing. I'm trying to stay as much as I can out of the business of trying to guess what's going to happen because I don't know that that's that productive for the rest of us to figure out what it's going to look like and when it's going to start. Because And partly because those two things are so tied together. I mean, when the game and the country is able to get going again is going to have a tremendous impact on what baseball looks like and what basketball looks like and, you know, just what business in this nation looks like. So I think that they are planning for a bunch of different contingencies, but I don't think it's correct to say that they're targeting any date. That's, okay. I guess, the way I would look at it.
You know, when we hear from some of these guys, when we do get the opportunity, and Craig Counsell with that conference call a couple of weeks ago with the writers, and we were able to play some of that here on the station, I think that there's just kind of a malaise of, like, what do we do? Baseball, we always talk about baseball, is so routine. These guys do the same thing, like, every day. And now here it is on what should be opening day, and you've taken them out of this routine where there's no baseball at the end of March. There's no baseball in April. I think that that's going to be one thing for these guys to overcome, is just the mental aspect of knowing they should be on a baseball field today.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, thanks to social media, we see how different players are, you know, kind of going about this. The training that they're doing on their own, some of the Brewers minor league guys are working out together because they're roommates. So they're, you know, they're not socially isolated from each other. You see the guys with families who are getting probably something they haven't had for any of their children's lives, of this time together, trying to make the most of this time together in April, which is probably very strange for the families because they're used to being in baseball season by then. And look, there is some, the Craig Council, his coaches are staying in contact with these players to try as best everybody can to take steps so that when, again, when things get going again, you're not caught flat-footed, because there's going to have to be some kind of a spring training part two. I think there's wide agreement on that. But, you know, like, it's not like the old days where players show up to spring training and you do, well, Robin Young, I probably use this line on you guys. Robin Young said spring training used to be you show up on day one, they say do 25 jumping jacks and go get them. And that's your warm up for spring training. I mean, now it's guys are coming in and they've already, for the pitchers, they've already thrown multiple bullpens. The hitters have seen plenty of velocity. You know, it's just a different sort of preparation for seasons now. And I think that Craig Council and his coaches are doing the best they can at just keeping the lines of communication open with players and seeing, you know, what they need. Do they want to talk about things? You know, they're trying to do what they can without being hands-on with these players. And it's a very strange, unprecedented situation, but I think everybody is just trying to do the best they can to navigate it and get to a point where, you know, there's hope, there's great hope, expectation, whatever the word is, that there will be some kind of 2020 season, and everybody is just trying to be as prepared as they can.
Is there anybody on the Brewer roster, or maybe a handful of guys who you thought were particularly hurt by the stoppage right here? Things were humming along for them, and it looked like they had a shot of improving their rank on the team, and then this happened?
Well, the easy answer is everybody, because this whole situation is just devastating for everybody, and not just the baseball players.
But I mean, guys were,
but look, like from a baseball point of view, like Corbin Burnes had a head of steam going into the year. Obviously, he was, you know, one of the most just interesting players from the very beginning. With he didn't play winter ball, but it's almost like he did, because he threw so much during the off season and did so much work to kind of reshape his array of pitches and build around that great slider, and was so motivated to move on from that nightmare of a season. He was just very, very impressive from absolutely day one. And look, I think Freddie Peralta is probably in the same boat. Another guy who was, you know, had a mostly disappointing season last year. He did go to winter ball, and he adds the slider and came in throwing the ball really well. You look at the spring stats or spring stats, but just the strikeout numbers really jump for both of those guys. And they were both sort of chugging into the season. And with Eric Lauer having had that shoulder setback, Freddie Peralta was going to be in the rotation, and Corbin Burnes was somewhere on the team, maybe bullpen, but, you know, with the idea that he would start at some point. So those guys were in a very, very good place before that shutdown happened. And, you know, again, unfortunate for everybody, but I think just from a baseball point of view, those are the two guys that jumped to my mind as were really hurt.
Well, and I think it hurt you, too, because you were writing at a clip that was just unbelievable. You were writing red hot into this season. I think 2020 was going to be a big year for Adam McKelvey at Brewers.com. The content doesn't stop. What have you been working on?
Well, look, I mean, today we've got opening day at home, this program baseball is doing, and the Brewers have the first game in, 17 minutes. There's going to be baseball on, it's going to stream on the Brewers homepage. People can just go watch it there, or MLB's YouTube channel. And in a minute here, I'll share that link again, and there's a little chat room. And the, I mean, look, we know the outcome of the game. It's game one of the division series against the Rockies. Some of the details will probably be new to people, but I love the idea of just watching a game together. I think that's really cool. And that's what we're going to do today. So I'm going to, you know, tweet way too much. And, you know, I'm dressed nicely like Jeff Supon taught me to do. And I'm trying to enjoy an opening day as best I can, even though, you know, live baseball would be way better. But this is it's cool to kind of virtually come together. And that's the thing about this whole situation we find ourselves in is technology has helped us stay together so much more than we would be, like, even, I don't know, 5 years ago, for sure 10 years ago, for sure 20 years ago when I started in this job. And I don't know. That's kind of the silver lining for me, is that we're all isolated. We're trying to do our part to stop this thing, but yet there's still some sense of togetherness. And I think that's kind of cool. And I hope that's what today, you know, I hope today just gives people a little bit of fun. It's a little early in the morning, but we can watch this game. And then at noon on Fox Sports Wisconsin, they're going to play last year's opening day game. So if you're a baseball junkie, if you're craving sports, I'm sorry we don't have live sports, but there's a couple of really cool games that you'll be able to watch and blow this day.
Yeah, well, watching baseball's unlike other sports where, I mean, you could miss like a couple of pitches and all that, and hopefully someone doesn't crank one out. But basketball and football, man, you probably pretty much got to be tuned in the whole time. Baseball, you could have a conversation and hang out and go to the concession stands without missing too much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things about the game. And it's for some people, it's their least favorite thing about the game. And that's the beauty of this, is we've all got different, you know, things that we like about sports. And I've always loved the idea that you go with some friends or your dad or your mom, and you kind of sit and talk, and you learn how to keep score. And the game does move at a different pace than the other sports. So I was looking at the time of game of this game, and there's going to be plenty of time for us to hang out today. This was a low-scoring game, but a playoff game, and the time of game looks like it's like we're going to be here past noon. So buckle up, and I hope we have a good time.
Was the NLDS, was that – what was the game one or game two with the Moustakas hit?
Well, Bart, I don't want to spoil it for you, because you can put this game on the side here while you're on the air. Do you really want me to give away the ending?
Well, I had too much to drink during one of those games, and
here's why I like this game. It's game one. This is the Moustakas game. This game was like, if you didn't know anything about the 2018 Brewers and you tuned in to the playoffs, because, you know, that's what people do, and you get to catch teams that maybe you hadn't seen all year, you got to see what the 2018 Brewers were all about, because they bullpened game one with Brandon Woodruff, who was a full reliever at the time. Corbin Burnes was this, like, call-up who played a big role. He came next. You got two innings of Josh Hader, who had established himself that year as this, like, great left-handed weapon out of the bullpen. You got Jeremy Jeffress, who pitched a ton and been so great for the Brewers all year, and he sort of gets a couple of, like, you know, he got hit, but, you know, the one hit down the line, just a little luck here and there, sort of shows you the fine line that a reliever always walks. And then you get the midseason pickup, Mike Moustakas, one of David Stern's, a couple of really important additions that he picked up along the way, and gets the winning hit. Oh, and by the way, Christian Yelich had a monster game, which he'd been having all along on the way to the MVP award. So it was like this is the 2018 Brewers in one game, and that's what I think was cool about that, and I'm glad this was the game that got picked.
You will be able to watch that with Adam today in just a little bit. He'll tweet out that link. We'll retweet it at Adam McKelvey. Do it while you're listening to us, of course, here on The Fan. Adam, be good. We miss you. We wish we could see you today, but we'll be in touch.
I miss you guys, too. It's very, very weird to reach opening day and not, you know, there's always this, like, buzz. And we'll get there. It'll happen someday. And I can't wait to see you guys. So
we'll see you in August.
Enjoy it today. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Adam.
Bye.
Maybe.
Adam McKelvey, the eighth seed. Well, you could see him in the next round of this playoff, Chuck, in the Fandemonium tournament.
I don't want to see him in that way. I'd rather see him in August. If they, you know, if the season doesn't start till August, they just better just bag the whole season. I don't want to start the season so late where we're playing like 40 games. That doesn't do anybody. If we're going to get to a point where, you know, August 14th we're starting the season, then I'm just like, forget it. Why play a 30 or 40 game season?